What's good, listeners? Welcome to the Chris College Show, Millennial Talk Show. Good morning, Marissa. How's it going, fam?
Oh my gosh, amazing!
Hey, life's good, right? I mean, did you have an amazing birthday this week?
I did. Well, I'm always like low key on my birthday because the last thing I want to do is be hung over on the beginning of my new year. Because my birthday is my New Year's. But yeah, it was low key, chill, fun, amazing. Got spoiled rotten. It was awesome.
Hey, that's the way to go, fam. I like that. I always like when my co-host is doing Louis Vuitton, Tom Ford, Gucci on her birthday. I like that, fam. I think that's a lot of fun. And I just want to make sure that everybody that's tuning in live right now, if you can go ahead and hit that like and subscribe button, that would mean the world to Marissa and I. Do it for her. It's like a late birthday gift. We would all love you for it if you haven't already. But hey, you know, Marissa, this was kind of on the top of my mind because, oh my gosh, did we find out? You do not want to mess around with the Swifties. No. You know what I'm saying? I mean, wasn't that kind of crazy?
The Swifties are going to take down Ticketmaster, and they need to be taken down.
And you know what? I'm all game with it. I know Ticketmaster and Live Nation, for anybody who's not familiar with the situation that's in hand right now, they're under fire because, you know, Taylor Swift, she's back on tour. You know, she's been hiatus for about 5 years now. She's writing out that success of her album, which, by the way, all the tracks went to the top 10 on the Billboard charts, wow, which is phenomenal. Well, these were supposed to be for 1.5 million verified Swiftie fans, which ended up finding out, Marissa, that 14 million people were able to get into the pre-sale tickets, causing Ticketmaster to eventually just cancel the public on-sale tickets as well. You know what? Think about it, fam. It's totally crazy. Hopefully they can fix it, but we got a great show for everybody that's going to be tuning in live to the Chris College Show, Millennial Talk Show, and our Just Talking guest is CCS video game contributor Henrik the Wreck, as well as Strike a Chord artist from Austin, Texas. They are an indie rock group. They are also sibling duos. They are called Solo Solo. And also, don't forget to check out our brand new music podcast series, Off the Fret, featuring LA pop rockers Poe the Passenger as our 7th installment. More music talk. But all right, Marissa, it is time to rock and roll. All right, so we got the one and only Henrik the Wreck with us right now. How's it going, fam? Pretty hey, I good, like those glasses. Good. You're styling and profiling. You're kind of giving me kind of like that Jalen Rose vibe. I mean, I feel like you still, you make it rock way better.
I love than the man. Glasses.
You know what it is.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
That's what's up, baby.
I love them.
Henrik, it wouldn't be us to not put you through the ringer again. I know I didn't let you know about this, but you know, that's the beauty about this whole thing. We like to put you through the ringer, have some fun. So we're going to have some game show music start hitting off. We're going to set the tone for you, baby, because obviously I can see that the Wreck is styling it and profiling. So let's go ahead and kick it off with the very first question. Nickname King Koopa, who is the arch nemesis of Mario?
That would be Bowser.
That is correct. And who is the voiceover actor for the new Mario movie?
Oh, it's Jack Black, and he is killing it, it looks like.
I like you on your point, baby. Question number two. Which video game character has a sidekick named Tails?
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, he is on fire. I like this. We're going to keep this rapid fire movement going. In 2010, what prince did Jake Gyllenhaal play based off a popular video game?
2010, Jake. Oh, didn't he do Prince of Persia?
That is correct. Awesome. And that's what we call whitewashing for everybody. That was one of the worst casting decisions ever. And you would have thought that we would have learned from this from now. Obviously, we have it. Let's go into question number four. What is the name of the motion sensing peripheral for the Xbox 360 and Xbox One?
That's the Kinect, the failed accessory.
You are on fire. I think there's something going on with the glasses where it's giving you an extra mojo. I think there's something going on. I think, damn, you looking sexy, my friend. I like that. So let's go into question number five. Which game console introduced different shapes to the four buttons on their controller?
I would probably have to say PlayStation, right?
That is correct. There is no A, B, X, and Y. They're all just, you know, triangle, square, X, and circle. See, you're doing pretty good. See, I thought that was going to be kind of the trick question, but let's bring it in to current now. Which video game this year earned $1 billion in just 10 days?
I'd probably have to say it's probably Call of Duty.
You are on top of your shit. I like that, man. You absolutely correct. The brand new Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 crossed the 1 billion mark in sales in just 10 days. That is totally insane, especially considering how Warzone 2 just came out this week. So let's bring on some of the heat. It's not going to get easier from here, okay? So question number 7. What F-Zero driver appeared as a fighter in Super Smash Brothers?
Falcon Punch, Captain Falcon.
Captain Falcon. Okay, see, I thought I was going to trick you a little bit, but let's keep it with
that. Was my main pick in Smash Brothers. So,
why so? Why was he so dominant? It was because of that kind of quick burst?
Oh, yeah. Easy damage and quick. So, easy pick.
I like that, baby. Well, hey, let's keep it with the whole Nintendo 64 realm, because what's the name of the vibrating attachment for the N64? Do you remember?
I do. I had one. It's the Rumble Pack.
I thought these were going to be some of the harder ones, Marissa. He's like really nailing it today.
I know.
This is really, really well done. We got another one here for you. Which popular dining franchise is Atari's founder responsible for? Do you know this one?
Ooh, that one's a tough one. That's probably the toughest one so far.
Let's see.
I'm not sure, honestly.
Well, I'm going to have to give you a wrong for that one. It's actually Chuck E. Cheese, believe it or
which
not.
Is
Chuck
crazy.
E. Cheese. Oh. I never knew that.
That's really random, I feel like.
I grew
it's
up
very,
there.
Very random.
It was the only like kid place that had pitchers of beer. So literally my mom would get a pitcher and be like, when this pitcher is done, we are leaving.
You could thank Atari for that one, because we would have never had Dave and Buster, you know, without the success of Chuck E. Cheese.
This is true.
Right? And lastly, what is the first handheld console to use optical discs?
And the PlayStation Portable or PSP?
That's right. Okay. There we go.
Nine out of ten.
As you clearly see, Henrik the Wreck is clearly the man, the myth, the legend. If you go ahead and follow him all over social media accounts, he will let you guys know all about gaming news, industry talk, and so much more. And Henrik, we got to talk about it. The Game Awards has announced this year's nominees honoring achievements in the video game industry. And we're going to discuss the Game of the Year nominees. So let me go ahead and show our listening audience who is tuning in. So you can clearly see A Plague Tale, Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War, Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Stray, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3 have all been nominated. But my question to you and everybody who is tuning in right now, are you satisfied with the Game of the Year nominees?
One of these things is not like the other. Probably
care to explain?
Is like the outlier here. I don't like, it was a good game, don't get me wrong, but Game of the Year, I don't know. Indie Game of the Year, maybe. Yeah, sure. But like compared to the others, I don't know.
I'm starting to think, Henrik the Wreck, that you were underestimating the impact that Stray can have. I mean, have you seen this meme? Have you seen this? Elden Ring and Ragnarok might low-key be taken down by Stray. So I think you are not being fair to what indie game has brought. I mean, this is kind of exciting. I mean, you have to kind of remember back in 2021.
I don't even know video games, and I was shocked to see Stray. I was like, Stray, that says something right there.
But why is Stray the stray cat amongst all the Game of the Years, Henrik the Wreck?
What was the question? Sorry.
So I'm saying, why is it the stray cat? Why is Stray not in the realm of the Game of the Year that you think this is a random take?
Well, I mean, it was one of the games that's like people played and then they kind of forgot about. And then when you compare that to God of War, which just came out, and then Elden Ring, which people were talking about for months after the game launched. Like, I think, honestly, in my opinion, it would make the most sense if Elden Ring won. just based off of the fact that it got into the cultural zeitgeist for that long.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, when you have someone like, I know everybody's kind of joking that Twitter might shut down because there's like a mass protest happening at this moment. But when you got someone like Elon Musk with the kind of following that he has on Twitter, and he's like hyping up his gear and his settings for Elden Ring, and everybody else was sharing along with that, the hype was real. I'm not necessarily seeing that right now with God of War Ragnarok. I feel like everybody's going to be late to the game, hoping that that disc is under your Christmas tree. By the time December 25th comes around, do you think that's going to be the ultimate winner after all, Elden Ring?
Yeah, probably. Like I said, I wouldn't really be surprised if it did win. I think that if God of War wins, it probably would be mostly just because of the fact that it just came out. So the hype is like at the peak right now. But like you said, you know, I feel like a lot of people aren't really playing it yet because they're waiting for it to be their Christmas gift.
Yeah, I mean, I just have a hard time paying $75.
Are you waiting for it, Chris?
I definitely got to wait for it. You know, it's so funny that even Henrik was bringing up about how, like, you know, Stray's one of those kind of games you play and you kind of forget about it. He's kind of right. I mean, I ended up doing the PS Premium, the whole subscription service. That was the very first game I played on that subscription service. And I can tell you guys, the CCS family, I felt like when I played the end of the game, I was like, that's it. I know that there's a sequel coming, but that's it. I have a hard time believing that that's the game of the year. But since we got you on right here, Henrik, I want to go ahead and showcase this because I think this is something that we have to discuss since video games are becoming more prevalent in the cinema world. Well, they have a category called Best Adaption. And you can clearly see that Arcane, League of Legends, Cyberpunk, Edge Runners, The Cuphead Show, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and Uncharted were all nominated. So who are you hyped to take home the Best Adaption at the Game Awards?
Okay, out of those, I definitely would have to say Cyberpunk Edge Runners. And here's the reason. So not only is it a very great anime, if you have not seen it, I recommend it. 10 episodes, really not that long, but it gives you a whole roller coaster of emotions. And if you really look at how it affected people, you see that Cyberpunk 2077, the game that failed at launch, has now gotten so much attention because of the success of the show. So I think that right there is just right there a reason.
I think Cuphead's.
Yeah,
Cuphead's,
you know, it's
awesome. Good choice. I watch Cuphead. Cuphead is so funny.
All I can say is I'm glad that Henrik the Wreck and Marissa are not saying Sonic the Hedgehog 2 and Uncharted, because I have to indulge again my frustration of Mark Wahlberg playing Sully? It just pisses me the hell off. But then again, we're all going to be pissed off next year when The Last of Us gets nominated and we have to really try to kid ourselves and say that this is the best adaptation of all times. I'm sorry. It might be fun for people who've never played the game. Yeah, exactly. But we got to start moving on. But all I can say is, Henrik, I think you would be surprised. Best horror game is not a category at the Game Awards. They got best sports, they got best racing, they got best action adventure. Why is horror games not even being highlighted? I think that's crazy, especially knowing you're very much into that whole horror survival world.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think that is definitely a disservice to the genre, because I mean, yeah, you know, we didn't get that many big horror games this year, but you know, there's still plenty that get made every year, so why not?
What was the horror game that we talked about last time that had the very like biomechanic, like where you're?
Yeah, it was the game that you were playing, Henrik the Wreck.
Yeah, that's a Scorn.
Yeah, that was so good. Like, how
that would have been probably easily a part. Well, actually, would have missed it. It came out in October, because I think the cutoff date would have been like late September. But yeah, you know, Game Awards, if you're listening, hey, we got a, you know, spokesperson that'd love to come and join the show. That's Henrik the Wreck, and he can lead the charge with best horror game. But hey, you know, we got to talk about this, because obviously the nominations for the Grammy Awards came out, and for the first time ever in Grammy history, video games will have an official category for best score soundtrack for video games. So I actually got the sound bites. So us, the CCS family, along with Marissa Pitts and Henrik the Wreck, we're going to go ahead and check them out, and you guys can judge for yourself. But we got Call of Duty Vanguard, which is a little bit random. I thought that game was old. Guardians of the Galaxy, a little upbeat. Not the funnest of games, in my personal opinion. Old world. Maybe the old-time baby boomers are on that list. They might like Celtic music. Assassin's Creed. Not necessarily fawned upon, but people still played. And then we have Aliens. So just kind of here in the mix right there, Henrik the Wreck. Are you jived about which one? Have you even thought about it?
You know, I did see the whole article that they kind of had announced these. So I took a bit of a listen myself to more of the scope of things. And I think that if I were to pick one, I think that Aliens would definitely be my choice.
That's kind of funny that you said that, because I thought that was the least choice in my opinion. No, for me, really? At least. I didn't think it was that. No, that would not get me hyped up to play the game. I'm sorry. Like, if I heard that, I was like, that did not give me the idea of Aliens.
Though, you know? Yes, it does. You're wrong, Chris. See, that's all I can say. Henrik's the video guy.
Well, clearly I'm wrong, because it's 2-1. But hey, I was low-key kind of thinking Call of Duty. That got me more amped up in the feel for what a Call of Duty game could be. But then again, Henrik the Wreck, he knows his shit. But all I know is they're very lucky to not go up against Skyrim, because Skyrim would have clearly won this if it came out, you know, then. You know what I'm saying? But let's go ahead and talk about this, Henrik the Wreck, because this month on Twitter, I Am Wildcat started trending because he was creating a gaming debate. And I actually had that tweet for everybody that's tuning in live to the Chris Collins Show on our YouTube channel. And I Am Wildcat states, algorithms run the universe, man. Modern Warfare 2 is not a video game. It's an algorithm designed to capture as much human attention as possible and convert it into dollars. How long before our movies and TV shows that are created by algorithms to maximize viewership? I think it's happening. Maybe we do already, but I'm woke to this matrix, man. I'm breaking out. Every video game becoming a live service capable of taking your money 24/7. So Henrik the Wreck, when you hear this, why does it feel like gaming feels completely different than when we were young?
Well, I think that, you know, like this guy was saying in his tweets, it's all like, it's all analyzed. And a lot of it is just because they want to make the most amount of money and they want to take what they can get in terms of data from usage of people playing the games in order to keep them engaged in the games and make more money off of them.
But don't you feel like every game is like kind of like garbly goop? It's kind of boring. It's uninspiring. I mean, I never understand it, because, you know, I was trying to think about why they keep wanting to create games based on this kind of live capability. And I think it's because, you know, the younger generation, just personally, in my opinion, I want to bring everybody on screen so we can kind of see your guys' natural reaction. But my theory for why they keep creating games like Overwatch and Fortnite, Apex, and et cetera, is because the younger generation is more focused on sustaining a career, or at least think they can, playing video games. Am I completely off on that theory? Or because, I mean, then again, I mean, there's a lot of young kids that say they want to be a YouTuber nowadays instead of being a doctor or a scientist. Am I just kind of sounding like a baby boomer stance?
No, I think you got a point. You know, part of it probably is nostalgia. You know, when you grow up, you see these games and you're like, oh, man, these are great. And then you wake up when you grow up and you're like, oh, wait, actually, they're not as good as I remember. But you do have a good point that, you know, influencers and streamers, that all the people playing these games and are having all these eyes watching them play it, do have a lot of influence on whether or not a game is successful or not. Because if they personally don't see success in the game, they're going to trash it. And then
that's
when
what I'm
they
saying,
trash
like
it, all their fans trash it too.
Yeah, like you never see the popular streamers actually playing a story mode game. Is that because there's not enough produced story mode games to go around? Is it because the generation, you know, that's younger than us don't get engaged in that world? Because I know my older brother, I mean, my little brother, Kelly, he never plays a story mode game anymore. He could care less. He would rather watch somebody, but there isn't a source for that. And I know some people would be arguing with me going, why complain about video games being soulless when God of War Ragnarok just came out? But why aren't we producing story mode games fast enough?
Well, I mean, probably because they take a little bit more money than a multiplayer live service game does to actually make and produce. You know, you think about it, you got to have all these storylines written now. You got to have voiceover and animation. Whereas compared to like a live service game, like for example, Apex Legends, we'll say, yeah, you have a bunch of storylines written and voice acting and all that, but there's a little bit less of that as a focus. The focus is more so on the gameplay, and then you're going to make more money as a developer just because you can actually charge people for skins and you know, things like that. So you can't really do that with a story game. Like they tried to do that actually, I think.
Yeah, the NFT route with remember Assassin's Creed Valhalla?
Yeah, exactly.
And that got completely tanked. No, that was actually really, really funny that they, you know, someone actually thought that that was a genius idea, Henry. Yeah. And I know since we only got like 1 minute left in our Just Talking segment. Oopsie, my apologies. Don't mean to hit that. I was trying to hit our drum roll. But since we got 30 seconds left, I do want to say, why is Apple trying to get involved in the metaverse? I mean, you want to speak on that for like the last 30 seconds? I mean, I know that was something that you were kind of having your eyeballs on.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that, you know, it has been rumored that Apple is going to be getting into gaming at some point, specifically probably mobile gaming. And, you know, what better accessory to go with that than a VR headset? On top of the fact that I don't think that there's going to ever not be competition in that space, because who's going to want Meta of all companies to have the only competition in the metaverse space? So
yeah, exactly, because all I know is Mark Zuckerberg's Meta kind of looks like a really cheap ass video game at the moment. So if we could get everybody's you know, all hands on deck, I think that'd be kind of cool. But I don't know if that's my thing, you know, to be playing video games on a VR headset, unless I'm playing Madden against my little bro, because I don't want him seeing my play calls, if you know what I'm saying. That's the only benefit that I see with the VR and AR. But we ran out of but hey, you know, follow Henrik the Wreck on all of his social media accounts. I obviously know that he's going to be in touch with all the gaming news, industry talk, and so much more. And we're so excited. Yeah, we're super excited.
I want to make sure you're going to say it.
Oh, no, we were definitely going to make sure to say it. Henrik and I, do you want to say the announcement, Henrik?
Sure, yeah. Everyone keep an eye out, because Chris and I are working on putting together a live stream gaming show called Rage Quit.
That's right.
Decided on calling it. So stay tuned, because that's going to be a great load of fun. And
that's right. Yeah, stick around for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're definitely going to hear me rage, and maybe I get Henrik to quit out. Just kidding. No, it's going to be a lot of fun. And Henrik, I can't thank you enough for joining the Chris College Show, Millennial Talk Show, and everybody that's tuning in right now. We still got so much left. So stick around, baby. Let's get the show on the road. Hey, what's good, listeners? Our guest on Strike a Chord from Austin, Texas, is indie rock sibling duo Solo, live on the Chris College Show, Millennial Talk Show. And also check out our seventh installment of Off the Fret, more music talk, featuring LA pop rockers. Poe the Passenger, out now on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And we got the gentlemen here themselves, Greg and John from Solo. So, gentlemen, how's it going, fam?
Hello.
I like that. Hello, Paul Bett.
Well, hey, you know, that was the best intro hello from any band we've ever gotten. So
yeah, cheers. You know, the 4 years cheers that we've done this. Cheers, Greg and John. We like it.
Oh, God, I'm gonna go.
Let's get it, baby. But you know, before we even begin, I must know, what's the idea behind the band's name Solo? Because when I look up the definition for solo, it literally means one person. So was like thing one and thing two already taken as a band name? Like, what's the meaning behind Solo? Are you guys from a different quantum universe? And then you guys eventually got together. Talk to me.
These are some really hard.
And we're definitely quantum. We're short people.
Gotcha. But yeah, I know we have to always hit the tough questions right at the top of the show. So Greg and John, indulge us. Like, what the hell does solo even mean?
Well, originally I was just going to start playing songs by myself, and John was like, hey, can I come? And so it was going to be solo project. And then he came, and that was solo.
Or maybe you guys are Han Solo's offspring.
No, I think that's really cool, because you know, when you think about like sibling duos and rock bands, I personally find it quite fascinating because they're either like celebrated or looked down upon. And, you know, I can think of artists like Oasis, AC/DC, Kings of Leon's got their brothers and one cousin. And then you think of Radiohead. So how did the two of you make this work?
We don't really. It's kind of a struggle.
So are you the next Radiohead then? Like, you're never going to play. That's
cool. Yeah, well, we were kind of laughing earlier because we were listening into the podcast and we were like, we haven't played a live show yet. And we were like, man, we'll just say that this Ticketmaster thing is the reason we haven't played.
I love it. Right on it. And that way you can join the lawsuit.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the whole Ticketmaster debacle? Are you guys in favor of what's going down? Do you guys like the idea of dynamic pricing? Because I know you guys are a fresh band right now in the scene, and they're claiming that this is for you, the artist, that they're doing this. Do you see this as an affordable tactic for young up and coming bands?
I didn't know anything about it until you said something about it. So
I think the closest parallel I can put on it is like Uber when ACL is going on and you can't get downtown for less than $40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's like, it's like the demand's hot right now to start partying on a Friday night, you know, in Austin, Texas. You're not going to be able to, you know, get an affordable ride. You're going to have to pay double or three times the amount of money. Sorry. No, I think it's unfortunate.
It's actually a really good analogy if you think about it for people who don't really know what's going on. Because, I mean, it's true. It's the price of demand, the surge, right? And are you willing to pay that much or sit at home?
Yeah, and Greg and Johnny, you guys did say something that I thought is very, you guys haven't toured yet. I mean, you guys haven't even played a single live show. So what is that going to look like? Are you guys looking forward to the new year to start making that happen?
Yeah, I think we're just trying to put out some music right now. And I mean, we'd be playing to our five friends who would come probably.
And would they come one at a time? So it'd be a solo audience.
Yeah, exactly. it's kind of like an artist.
God damn it, Marissa.
Come on, these are good jokes.
No, we already know the version of what the band name's going to be. And
we're going to fix it. Blah. We're going to do an art installation. Now, we're only going to play in Marfa once a year.
For one person.
At a time, or one party at a time.
You guys are an art gallery band. Why even call you guys Bedroom Pop? You guys are doing something new.
I would totally so come for that.
You can see solo at the Lachma in Los Angeles, California, and they're just one singular piece. It always moves and never stops singing. I think you guys are onto something. Where did the passion begin to start, you know, producing and writing your guys' music?
Well, writing we've been doing for a very long time. I started playing guitar when I was 5, and John started playing drums when he was 6.
Wow.
Our dad would make us practice for like 5 hours a day.
So you guys were raised in a musical family?
Well, we were.
We were.
We were the musicians.
But we didn't have any. Yeah, we had no. We had to listen to, you know, great bands like Asia and
Foreigner.
to figure out.
Yo, it's really funny that you guys are all kind of saying this, because I know that you guys describe your guys' music as, you know, technically indie rock, but rather be known as early Tarantino. And I don't know if you guys heard what Quentin Tarantino just recently said yesterday, but he's saying that like this is the worst era of movies right now, and he compares this to the 1980s and the 1950s. Do you guys feel like that's what's happening with music today, that's why you guys are calling yourself early Tarantino?
Oh, I don't know. I've never really put that together. I think I was watching an interview with Jacob Dylan, Bob Dylan's son. He started talking about like how his dad and the people he grew up with were kind of lucked out because there were no bad musical influences back then. You know, they were all great. And he was
you're bringing up something that's kind of fascinating, because I heard Anthony Mackie, you know, he's you know, the Captain Falcon or whatever the hell he is, you know, in the Marvel superhero universe. But he was talking about how like there's no movie stars today that people actually go for to the movie theaters, like, you know, Will Smith, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and etc. Do you guys feel like there's no real rock star to look up to today?
I still go to see him. Chris Hemsworth, homie. Come on.
Well, okay, but you get what I'm saying. Like, you know, I wouldn't necessarily put Chris Hemsworth in with like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Just take off his shirt and he's good. Anything.
But do you guys feel like the era of like looking up to a rock star today is kind of swindled away?
I don't know. I think you just have more choices, because you're still gonna find the people who you resonate with. Like, I mean, for me, when I really started getting into writing lyrics, I I got really into, and this is gonna sound very contemporary and not cool, but I got really into The National. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but
no,
I don't know. It's kind of like,
well, that's kind of the point. It's just, you haven't heard of them, but they're a huge band also. It's
but like, he's my huge influence rock star. I think we all have our rock stars, you know. We all still are like, you're such a rock star, even though, you know, they're, you know, walking around stage with like a tie and a glass of wine instead of
also Mick Jagger. Well, that's what I like about August Burns Red. You know, they show up on stage playing metal band, and one of the guitarists is wearing flip flops. Not necessarily the cut up skinny jeans, or some of these guys look like they're on steroids nowadays. You're like, holy shit, he definitely does not work out at the gym. He's just injecting himself with needles. But what I do find really cool about Solo is you guys bring something brand new and exciting and sort of refreshing with your guys' music. And your first single, No Sleep, is like this atmospheric banger, you know, for a song that's under 3 minutes. And it's like a track with me personally that feels longer than what it is because it's under 3 minutes that like you accidentally get it stuck on repeat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's one of those songs that I don't get mad that it's on repeat. Was that the intention to do that with that track?
Yeah. Kind of, at least that's how I thought about it, for sure.
Yeah, so the strange thing about all these songs is we did a song a week for like 20 weeks, and we didn't, man, I'm trying to put this into words. So the short songs, I don't know where I picked it up, but I'm pretty sure I picked it up. You ever heard of Nick Drake?
I'm not necessarily familiar with Nick Drake, but go ahead and indulge the rest of the CCS family who have no idea, well, might not know who Nick Drake is.
Oh, I'm sure that he's very popular, but he has, these songs are beautiful, and they're a minute and a half, 2 minutes long max. His mom, actually, if you go to Spotify, you can look up his mother. She has these like ditties that are a minute long. And they're just repeatable, and you put it on and it's stuck in your head, and you don't get mad because it's such a short song and you want to listen to it again. And we didn't realize it, but you know, the next song we're going to put out, I think, is going to be a minute and a half, and it feels like a full song. And I don't know if it's a good thing.
Well, I know radio stations are going to be loving you because you guys are not going to be producing like Tool or Metallica songs that are seven minutes long. They'll be able to be accessible for the listening audience over the waves.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that is the just kind of the ADD, you know, reality.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, we're obviously seeing two TikTok stars being celebrated at the Grammys, Samara Joy and Gayle, which they've obviously gotten their success because of the short, you know, songs that they produce via social media. So I think that's very exciting. But let's go ahead and play your guys's music video. I think it's a lot of fun. I love this music a lot. And let's go ahead and play your guys's Static music video, No Sleep, live on the Chris College Show Millennial Talk Show.
Right.
Let's get it. That's what's good. This is Solo Solo, and that is their music video, No Sleep. And we got the lovely gentlemen here themselves, Greg and John. And guys, I love the music. I'm telling you right now, CCS family, you're going to get that song drilled into your skull. It might be the pure graffiti to your world. I see where you guys can see where I'm going with this right now. We're going to be playing your guys' second single in a moment, Pure Graffiti. But I want to know from you guys, when you guys are working on new material, do you guys like to collaborate together when you're writing music? Or do you guys have to do it completely separate when you're coming up with melodies?
Coming up with melodies is something I kind of do, but it's definitely a collaborative process. I mean, I had the whole system worked out. It was like a sort of a machine. I looked at it like a machine, and like Mondays we would start on a song that I just had tinkering around in my head. And then John would be like, no, that's terrible. And then what's the next thing you got? And I was like, nothing. I have this chord. And he was like, okay, cool. Let's make a song. And then
we'd argue for about 30 minutes.
Yeah. And I'd say, you don't appreciate anything I do. And if you think it's so easy, why don't you try?
So you're getting exactly to the point that I'm thinking about. I mean, how do you guys equally balance your guys' music when you guys start creating these new material?
Equally balance the, what do you mean?
Well, I'm just saying, like, sometimes some artists feel like, you know, like 75% of the music was created by Greg and then 25% of it was John. Like, how do you guys equally get you guys' voices heard?
Yeah, no, it's all 50-50, no matter what. I can't do it without him, and he definitely can't do it without me.
No, I like that. And so, like, when you guys are producing the music, does it come with the lyrics first, or do you guys like to produce the melodies and then start to figure out how you're going to implement the lyrics into the song?
It comes first with a vibe. It kind of start with a chord and a beat. And so what kind of, for a while we start with a beat. Like, for a while, John would just sit in a room, like, make up 6 or 7 beats and be like, what do you think? And be like, right here, let's do something here. Mm-hmm. And I'd play with it. And you just get a feeling going. And then, I have a running note with all these ideas that I have for songs and lyrics, and you got to keep writing, I think. And
I think that's cool. You guys sound like you guys are very structured. And what I also thought was pretty groovy, I was reading about you gentlemen, and you guys actually didn't go through the traditional music studio. Instead, you guys recorded your brand new EP in a storage unit, which I think is pretty freaking cool. So for anybody who's because there's a lot of young kids that feel like they got to settle with, you know, the music studio to make their music happen in the real world. So how do you guys produce music? Did you guys want to get away from that kind of space? Was this a decision that you guys were like on, or this was the only route to create this music?
It was kind of the latter. I mean, the pandemic had just started and studios were still open, but it was a whole thing. And we're like, let's just get some microphones and start making demos. So it started with demos. And then we were like, man, this is starting to sound all right. And then, you know, a year went by, because it takes a long time to sound good, to make something in your head and then have it come out through the speakers. Like, at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is what comes out of the speakers. Like, it doesn't matter where you do it, who mixed it, who mastered it. If you're loving what's coming out of the speakers, you've done your job as a musician.
So how many tracks are on this EP?
It's really hard to say. We wrote 20. We really liked 12 enough to mix. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't know what we're going to put out next or how many singles we're going to do before we just go back in.
Have you guys figured out like anything that is coming in with this brand new EP? And the only reason why I'm saying that is I went all over you guys' social media accounts. I even tried to look into music publications and I couldn't find a single thing on the EP's name. So have you guys even settled on it? Do you need Marissa and I to convene and kind of help you guys out? I mean, what's going on?
Let's do it. Yeah, we need help.
You guys, so you need.
So it's Solo by Solo Solo.
Solo by Solo Solo.
Come on, that's brilliant.
We'll call the second. No, we'll call the first one. Or like one, and the second one two, and three. Nine.
Oh, part one and part two, and then you mash it together, and then it creates an LP. It's like a baby was born.
You guys are counting it while we still have the umbilical cord. I mean, look. I mean, it's We're babies.
That's right. That's right. And I know one of our tracks that we really like from you guys, which is actually you guys' second single release, which is called Pure Graffiti. And we're going to be playing that on Strike a Chord. But you guys explain this track as, quote, a song that showed what that writing, that graffiti would look like if the canvas was inside of a person's skull. So what's hidden underneath that skull? Are you guys watching too much porn? Are you guys playing too much video games? Are you thinking about someone's, you know, lover? I mean, what's going on?
No, I mean, that's, what do you think, man? Since I wrote that, I kind of want to see what John says about that.
Yeah, I like that. I like that philosophy.
What are you crazy? Sounds like you sound like a lunatic. honestly, it was kind of more like a filter. I was looking at. This is one of those things where it's you keep a running note on your phone and you write down ideas as you have them. And I was just walking around and I thought that like the fence for my brain is my skull. And I started thinking about, I was just walking past the bridge that had a bunch of graffiti on it, and then I started thinking about graffiti on the fence and then how that kind of felt like it was the filter through which you see everything.
Well, like when I'm thinking about you guys' song, Pure Graffiti, and you're talking about the graffiti in the skull, well, you know, graffiti on a level is kind of permanent until you choose to scrub it away. Is that right? Kind of what you're trying to get at? Do you want it to be interpreted by the listener? You kind of throw that out there, and then from there you kind of want, you know, your fans to kind of be like, well, what do you think? We just leave it as an open-ended book.
I definitely had a meaning behind it. I never really understood that, like, just leave it open, people will interpret how they're going to anyways, like that. I get that, but you definitely have an idea what you want a song to be about when you start it. And for me, it really was like mostly just a filter. I just thought all this paint in my head, and I just seeing the world through my own shortcomings and my own experiences. And I felt like that's my own personal graffiti inside of my skull and looking out that way.
No, I absolutely like it, gentlemen. And Greg and John, let's go ahead and play your guys' music video. So this is Solo. This song is called Pure Graffiti, live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show.
Something inside of you, you're calling on me. Future behind you, is this really happening? Come with me if you want to live. Be my passenger. Only see what we want to win. There's something inside you, falling on me. Don't think no time to. Is this really happening? Come with me if you want to live. Be my passenger. City, it's pure graffiti.
That's what's good. That is Greg and John's band. They're called Solo Solo, and you can find that track. It's called Pure Graffiti. And boys, you guys have been so freaking badass. I love you guys' music. I also like that you guys kind of have an idea of making this EP a part one and a part two. So whatever you guys do, I know my eyeballs will be there in the year 2023. And for anybody that wants to follow along, know how to get the scope on finding that new music, where do they go to follow you guys on social media?
Yeah, Instagram, we're Solo Solo Band, and solosoloband.com.
And where were, and when are you guys planning on going on tour? Are you guys going to do this at the month of December? Are you guys planning on doing it in the new year? You guys plan to just do it in the metaverse? Talk to me. What's going on?
We're going to start in the metaverse, and then we're going to see how things go with Ticketmaster.
Preferably, is it Zuckerberg's world, or is it going to be Apple's metaverse?
Love it. Love it.
We're doing the Musk meta.
Oh, yeah, because he's going to be out of a job with Twitter. So you guys will be the first artists to join him. We love you guys a lot. I'm excited for your guys' brand new music. I know the CCS family as well, and I can't thank you guys enough for joining the Chris College Show, Millennial Talk Show. I'm sorry. So we always like to end the show off on a positive note. We always know that there's so much negativity, and we like to bring the good out in this world. So let's go ahead and share some of my favorite moments. So so this one's quite hilarious. So this is a baby elephant that won't stop tickling a local Kenyan reporter as he tries to tell the world a serious story about wildlife conservation. So let's go ahead and share that
clip. The rise in drought cases. It is up to us to be guardians of our own natural world, save our wild species, and provide a home.
That got me laughing. I think that's really, really hilarious.
I love
really
how he just kept trying, even when the elephant was like, hello, hello, hello. He's just like, act like nothing's happening.
What the hell would that feel like, having an elephant suck on your nose like that, the way that he did? That just made me laugh.
It's called an elephant kiss.
I just think it's hilarious. They smooch at the end. You just gotta love animals. You gotta love people. I mean, I would not be the human today if it wasn't without all the dogs and my little fishes when I was younger the fishbowl. Fishies in the fishbowl. We love our animals. And if you don't have an animal, you might want to think about it. It makes life good. It makes the world go around. And we got to thank our wonderful, wonderful guests for joining us. Solo Solo, they are amazing. They didn't give us the scoop, but we're excited to keep following them in the year 2023. So the untitled EP, keep a lookout for it. It might be a part one and it might be a part two. It might be an LP with what they were saying. Or it might be just a solo. It's starting to sound like, Marissa, they're going to be dropping singles instead of albums. That just seems like the current climate of today. Please, Solo Solo, don't do that if you're still listening. But we love you guys. You guys are awesome, Greg and John. And we also want to give a huge shout out to our CCS video game contributor, Henrik the Wreck. Keep a lookout, as Henrik and I are going to be co-hosting our video game talk show called Rage Quit. We plan on getting that going next month, so keep a lookout for that. It's so much fun. And if you like what you're listening to, go to the chriscollinshow.com and become a member today and get that free CCS t-shirt. For now, fam, enjoy the weekend. And for my brother Zach Greer, congrats, my man. I'm excited for your wedding this Sunday. And Shelby, you are a doll and a half. You better keep them on a tight grip. That's how I'm gonna end this show. Toodaloo. Peace. What's good? It's Chris from the Chris College Show Millennial Talk Show, featuring alternative pop rock band Poe the Passenger, amassing over 1 million streams with their debut LP, Alenia, joins Off the Fret. More music talk. What's good, party people? Chris Collins Show presents Music Storm 2022, hosted by Chris Collins and Marissa Pitts, featuring Royals. There's got to be a better way. Hurricane Highway. Cannibal Kids. Amanda Cooksey. Astoria State. Kid Death. Resounding. Sleep Cycles. avenues. Freckles. Weather worn. Just True. Sophia Marie. Music Score 2022. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.